Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This week on Rewind, your week in review, it was the week that coronavirus changed Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Nice is going to have a different look to it in the future.
Governor Tony Evers declares a public health emergency. Colleges and universities send students home. The Elections Commission gives local clerks the okay to move polling places. And get ready for the ad blitz trying to influence your vote for the next Supreme Court justice. The governor also offers a plan to help local governments and landowners deal with flooding, but the assembly has gone home for the year. And who are JR's stock picks rising, mixed, falling? All this on the March 13 edition of Rewind, your week in review. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This was the week, J.R., that the coronavirus kind of reshaped Wisconsin and did a lot of things. And before we list some of those different changes, let's note that the governor issued a public health emergency declaration. As I said, before we get down to specifics, why do you think the governor this week issued that?
Well, I mean, we've got half the states have issued it at least at this point. So it's just a question of, you don't want to seem like you're overreacting by doing too soon.
Yes.
You don't want to seem like you're not being serious about it and waiting too late. You've got to find a right spot for Evers. This was the right spot to make this declaration. Now the question I have is, what is going to be next?
Yeah.
Last night, the governor of Michigan basically closed school. I can't remember how long, but several weeks.
Five states have closed schools in the District of Columbia on Monday.
Are we going to be next? Like, is that step going to be taken? With closing school, though, there's a number of things you have to think about. One, kids who are on free and reduced lunch who are getting basically nutrition by going to school, what do you have to do with them?
Right.
Parents, my boys are old enough now they can stay by themselves at home, but if you are a parent of younger children, you have demands either to stay home on your own, take off of work, find daycare, do something with the kids while they're off of school. There is a local control issue. I mean, you have all these things wrapped up in that decision. Do you delay the end of school then? Do they stay longer?
Right.
All kinds of stuff like that.
And there's one other thing. The if you're in a if you're a student in a rural district in Wisconsin, you do not have the same access to broadband as in some of these other areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, okay. I want to now listen to, first of all, the State Secretary of Department of Health Services, Andrea Palm. Then a very interesting General Barrett, National Guard, talks about how the Guard members will escort 37 members from Wisconsin who were on the cruise ship that had the extensive virus. And then thirdly, Chancellor, UW-Madison Chancellor Blank on how they're going to empty the dorms and extend spring break and continue online, go with online teaching until I think early April. So please.
Our recommendations for events include canceling events with over 250 people. We recommend against traveling to areas in the United States with sustained community transmission. If you do travel to places with sustained community transmission, we recommend you isolate in your home for 14 days. As this is a rapidly evolving pandemic, our guidance will change. So please stay tuned. And we will make sure that you know of new guidance as it is available.
Yesterday, the Wisconsin National Guard received a request for assistance from DHS to assist in transporting 37 Wisconsin citizens who are aboard the Grand Princess cruise ship back to their homes for self-isolation. We are mobilizing up to 30 soldiers and airmen to state active duty to serve as drivers and accomplish this mission. The flight carrying these citizens returning from the cruise will land at a location still to be determined, where they will be greeted by DHS personnel, and then drivers from the Wisconsin National Guard will transport them to their homes in state vehicles. The soldiers and airmen driving our citizens home will be following CDC and DHS protocols to limit the risks to our own troops, and out of an abundance of caution, troops involved with this mission will self-monitor for 14 days following completion of this mission.
Earlier today, I announced that we were suspending face-to-face instruction starting March 23rd, when students would typically return to classes following spring break. This will be in place until at least April 10th, and we will reevaluate this decision in early April. We are also directing undergraduates who live in our residence halls to return to their permanent homes, if at all possible. We are canceling events with more than 50 people, and we're canceling all university-sponsored travel through at least April 10th.
Now let's look at some of the specific angles on the virus in Wisconsin. First of all, as of this morning, eight cases confirmed, four in Dane, two in Waukesha, Fonelac, and Pierce. But now, in a few hours, we're probably going to have an update. We may have an additional. Mm-hmm. So that's just changing hourly. Yes. So we're at eight, and we don't know how many people have been tested because now private labs can do it. So these numbers are moving by the hour, yes, aren't they, fellow journalists, who track it, try to track it. Also, I heard Secretary Palm, when she briefed yesterday, she said the state may get its first allotment from this $8.3 yep. billion. That may be, she estimated could be $10 million, which could be passed on to the locals. We don't know yet how that's going to be spent, but the first allotment from.
Don't forget, we're starting to see more signs of it touching more people.
Yes.
Just this week, former Governor Scott Walker, he put out a statement this morning. He's on the last day of a self-quarantine because he was at CPAC, this big conservative gathering.
The CPAC gathering that led to six members of Congress self-quarantining?
Mm-hmm. He had contact with a person who tested positive coronavirus, so as a out of precaution, he self-quarantined for 2 weeks. Listener Ron Johnson this morning said that he was talking to doctors about that he's just self-quarantined. I mean, like, we're just seeing that stuff go on. State Senator Jeff Smith has closed his office for at least for a few weeks. Other lawmakers are starting to do similar things where they're closing their offices out of precaution, encouraging staffers to work from home.
Right.
Like, it's just starting to kind of touch not just, like, people getting it, but now we're seeing, like, public figures starting to come down with it or even have their brush with it.
Yes.
And having to deal with, okay, what do
having
we do now?
Self-quarantine. And just two more examples. The State Investment Board is closing because mm-hmm. one of their employees may have come in contact with someone who is positive. And it's a very symbolic, but it's a big deal. When you cancel the Capitol tours, you and I have watched the school kids, the foreigners, all the visitors. But when you cancel Capitol tours, that's a very symbolic gesture. It is. It's just a very interesting change. As we alluded to, UW schools are now extending their breaks, and Chancellor Blank said we're telling people to empty the dorms.
Yeah.
So that's higher education greatly affected, but not yet in any K-12, with the exception Elmbrook has gone to online.
Yep, we have not seen the Capitol closed yet. It's still open. I'm watching the state Senate supposed to meet March 24th. The last year they plan to be on the floor until possibly the veto review period in May.
Yeah.
But will the Senate meet March 24th? Might be something to watch, see what happens with that.
Which is a good time to say, officially, at the start of the week, both Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald said, we see no need at this moment to bring lawmakers back on the virus.
Remember, because the Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Committee of both houses, they have the power that they have an appropriation that if the administration needs money for something,
yes,
they can go ask Joint Finance for approval. So there's an option there if they need some emergency funding.
Yeah. Also, now let's look at the sports angle. I mean, the Bucks are 53-12. They lead the NBA, but they just got the whole NBA season just got suspended. So their title drive is disrupted for now, maybe at least 30 days. That's one estimate I heard this morning. The Brewers opening day, which was scheduled to be within 2 weeks. I think it's, anyway, 26 or something. Anyway, I'm guessing. That's pushed back 2 weeks.
The Big Ten tournament was canceled. NCAA tournament was canceled. The boys' basketball tournament was canceled. I coach in the Follett Youth Program. They're number one in the state. They were going to play their arch rival East this weekend for the who would go to state tournament. That game was canceled after they played last night in the see who's going to play. That canceled that whole tournament.
Okay, how do you break that to your team? I mean, that's just a heartbreaking thing because these student athletes work their butts off.
Five seniors in that La Follette team. Five seniors.
Oh. That's very difficult. Okay. Now, I don't know if it was you, a member of your staff that covered the Elections Commission yesterday, and they've decided to give more flexibility to local clerks. Can you elaborate on that?
So essentially, when you determine the polling place, you have the window has closed to move a polling place or to designate one. They said, okay, we're going to give you some more time because there's now a fear with nursing care facilities, for example. They usually send in deputies to collect ballots.
Yep.
They're saying, but those are not non-essential state employees, so they can't really require that.
Right.
So they're going to allow them to mail in the ballots. Just taking steps. The city of Madison, for example, with UW students going home early for spring break and not coming back until after April election.
Yes.
The clerk's office extended hours Thursday and Friday to allow students more time to come in and vote absentee. It's a real question right now. It's not like the top of the list of things going on, but what will turnout look like April 7th because of what's happening with this? Like, we have to make more accommodations for people. I just saw Louisiana delayed its presidential primary scheduled for April.
Delayed its primary?
So what's going to happen with us? Like, I'm not suggesting we're going to move it, but what's turnout going to look like? Will people go to the polls? Will they be worried about going to the polls to
right.
vote on election?
Right.
All kinds of unknowns.
Are voters being officially encouraged to vote absentee?
I've seen public figures encouraging to do that, you know, to try and minimize their exposure. So, again, long lines sometimes in certain wards on election day. There's a lot of people being gathered.
Is the Election Commission going to meet next week to continue this debate?
Or? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay. But after this week's meeting of the Elections Commission, the Executive Director, Megan Wolf, talked to reporters. So can we hear that segment now?
So the law requires that special voting deputies be sent to care facilities as they're defined in the statute. They have to notice two visits and bring ballots to the care facility for voting. If there are voters that were not able to make the two visits, then an absentee ballot is sent by mail to those voters in that facility. And so what the commission decided today is those two visits are not possible. And so the clerk should, instead of sending special voting deputies, they should work with the facilities to mail the absentee ballots.
Sure.
I know we did speak to the city of Milwaukee, and they said that they do not have polling places in care facilities. We don't know about the rest of the state in terms of how widely those are used. In smaller communities, it's likely that a care facility might be used as a polling place because it's accessible. So the commission, in the second motion, basically passed that the municipalities will need to work with their local health authorities, with state health authorities, to determine what facilities cannot be used as part of this. So it's not an exact science. We can't say, you know, exactly these facilities are the ones that can't be used. They're going to have to do that in consultation with health authorities.
Just two more PSs on this, JR. The president has canceled his visit to Milwaukee next week.
Postponed.
Because of this.
Says he'll come back later on. So
postponed.
Yep.
And also the PSC put out a press release today. Normally utilities can disconnect for non-payment in the spring, but the PSC says utilities, you may not.
Yep.
Also related to the coronavirus.
Vice President Mike Pence was going to come to Wausau area to do a GOTV event with Tom Tiffany, the Republican runner for the 7th Congressional District, Northern Wisconsin. He has delayed that event as well. So,
okay. Okay, time for a new topic. We're coming up on that April 7 election for the Supreme Court. Justice Daniel Kelly, the incumbent, seeking a 10-year term. He's being challenged by Dane County Municipal Judge Jill Karofsky. I've moderated two forums this week. Before we hear from some of that forum yesterday at the Milwaukee Bar Association, could you give me an overview on the statewide TV ad buys? Because you've been all over those numbers.
So Karofsky's up with her first ad of the general election.
Saw it last
night. Ran an ad in the primary. The buy, the campaign was $1.1 million from now through the general election. Now, buys can change. You can pull back or add to it, but the initial buy is $1.1 million. All major markets in Wisconsin. Kelly is going up on the air next week from what I've been able to play with from my sources. It was roughly $500,000 to start. But again, ad buys change, add more in, so that's not the final number of what he's going to spend.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see the ads begin. I've seen on a digital ad on YouTube from Wisconsin Alliance for Reform hitting Karofsky about a sentence she handed down in a case involving a child rapist, saying it was too light, essentially.
Okay. Now, is that the reason that Karofsky's first ad, which I saw last night, highlighted a she's tough on crime theme?
Possibly. I've seen the state GOP has been putting out stuff about various cases. I mean, put Karofsky aside, I'm sometimes surprised that if you're any circuit court judge at all in Wisconsin, you have aspiration for higher office, why you'd ever sign on to a plea deal, because a plea deal is going back to bite you in the butt in a campaign because they're fodder for, well, so-and-so could have gotten this many years, you gave him this year's instead.
Sure.
So it's part of what happens, but they're going to hit her hard on that.
What do you think is going to be the opening theme of the Kelly ads?
Good question. His first ad in the primary was biographical, how he's a strict constitutionalist. It'll be interesting if he kind of continues to introduce himself in that ad or if he attacks Karofsky. In the debates we've seen so far, they've not been very polite to each other.
No, as we're about to hear.
Quite contentious. So it'll be interesting to see, because neither candidate is very well known right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still people like us. Yeah, we know exactly who they are. But the average voter, they're not tuned in yet. You know, they're still kind of trying to figure who these guys are. So it's also interesting to watch the presidential campaign and the traffic from those ads that might come in between now and April 7th, because you might be competing for space. Now, Mike Bloomberg is out.
All of his ads are now available. All those ad buys. Right.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting how they break out of the possible noise the last couple weeks of the campaign.
Prior to hearing from this clip from yesterday's debate at the forum at the Milwaukee Bar Association, give me your assessment. Are third-party groups going to play heavy in this? What do you
depends
think?
Depends on your definition of heavy. It also depends on what the polling shows in the final weeks. I get the impression that, like, conservative groups have kind of told me that, yeah, they're planning to play, but they want to make sure there's a path to victory for Kelly before they get fully committed. I think they're ones who will run ads no matter what, but they're not going to spend bad money. So if they see a difficult path for him, you know, they'll have to reassess. Liberal groups, same thing. They're not going to throw money away, I guess, right. Is the bottom line.
Right. Okay, and now it's time to listen to both candidates as they continue their corruption, slander. Well, let's just go to that clip from yesterday's Milwaukee Bar Association forum.
One of the things that we have a responsibility to reject is this obnoxious and this ugly and this vile accusation that there is a for sale sign on the Supreme Court. You know, my opponent has made the centerpiece of her campaign an ugly slander. The entire rationale for it has been a lie. There is no basis for it. This behavior by an opponent has been so outside the bounds of appropriate behavior that the majority of Supreme Court justices just yesterday took the unusual step of condemning her behavior. Your campaign has been destructive of the judicial system you say you want to serve.
The problem is not that I am shining a light on the fact that Dan Kelly has an agenda. The problem is that Dan Kelly has an agenda. And by shining a light on the agenda, by shining a light on the corruption that we have on the Supreme Court, by changing that in this election and electing someone who does not have an agenda, that is how we will bring integrity back to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court.
Before we go to the next topic, there's a little PS that I think should be noted. The Chief Justice, Pat Rogenczak, issued a statement this week condemning Karofsky's campaign themes. What's your take on that?
She did it along with Annette Ziegler, who's deputy
chief. Yes.
They have not formally endorsed in the campaign, but let's be honest, they're probably the conservative majority. There's kind of like a wink and a nod to people I talked to that they're on Team Kelly. Anyway, they put out a statement not mentioning Karofsky, but knocking those who kind of impugn the integrity of the court.
Yes.
And that you should be mindful of the court you're running for. It's kind of an interesting tack. Also, Brian Hagedorn and Rebecca Bradley
issued
are two conservatives.
Right.
But that statement was through the Kelly campaign, questioning Karofsky's fitness for the bench and that her attacks reinforce her belief that Kelly should be retained. Let's be honest, those two are endorsing Kelly. There's a reason why they say those things. It's interesting, though, that last year, Brian Hagedorn went after then-Justice Roy Abramson during the campaign in 2019.
For having her, quote, thumb on the scale.
Thumb on the scale, super legislator, that when he walked in the courtroom, he knew where she was going to vote. I heard silence from those justices about those comments, but now it's one of their fellow conservatives. It's right. Different. Now, granted, you could argue Karofsky is being a little bit more vocal and use the word corruption, and Kelly's been saying that Karofsky's impugned the integrity of the entire court, not just one person. That said, there's politics at play in everything we see in this Capitol.
Maybe a little context here. This comes after U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice reprimanded Democratic Senator Schumer for his comments on the Supreme Court. Okay, new topic. The governor has drafted a plan to help flooded communities, J.R. Let's just review some of the elements. It would reimburse local governments half of the cost to build culverts and bridges. It would give the DNR $10 million more to help local governments collect stormwater and groundwater. It would allow income tax deductions for the cost of flood insurance. It would let debt cap borrow $7 million more for local grants and land and water conservation. JR, my question, why offer it to a legislature that one half of which has gone home?
A couple of things you could point out. One, this is an idea that Governor Evers supports, and it could lay the foundation for discussion in the next session. Two, it's an opportunity to point out these guys went home in February.
Yeah.
That they're taking 9 months off of the year. Governor Evers says, we're not. So a little bit of a dig at those guys for heading out of the Capitol off the campaign trail.
Okay, but there's no indication that the Senate is even going to consider it when it comes back this month, correct?
No.
What's your feeling? Senate back 1, 2, 3 days?
They're come back 1 day. Again, supposedly 1 day, March 24th, but with what's going on coronavirus, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. You and I had talked about a bill that would create 4 new judgeships in 2021, 4 in 2022, excuse me, 4 in 2023. Last week, the first 4 counties to get those judgeships were announced: Calumet, Marathon, Jackson, and Dunn. Any surprises there?
No, not really.
And then the timetable, those 4 judges will be elected in the spring of 2021. And then you get 4 more judgeships, as I said, 2022, 2023. We don't know where those will be going, although there's heavy, intense lobbying.
Director of State Courts, I believe that he has the authority to recommend where those judgeships go.
Sole authority.
I can't remember how that works.
Going to be second-guessed. But, yeah, let's talk about that a minute. The Director of State Courts is Randy Koshnick. He's a former judge from, I think, Jefferson County. And he says the determinations of future courts will be made based on caseloads and support from local officials. Now, you and I know the intense jockeying for additional district attorneys and ADAs and judgeships. So was this one final way they said, okay, we hear you, we're going to add a few, but not everybody's a winner here?
We'll watch. Keep stay tuned. See where that 12 all end up in the end.
Okay. Go to your stock picks, sir.
So rising of Tyler Huebner, he is Governor Evers' second pick to the Public Service Commission, and now it means that Evers has a majority on the 3-member board. Tyler works for Renew Wisconsin. It advocates renewable energy. A couple things to note about this appointment. One, along with the majority Evers now has on that commission, how might it change how the commission works? Will there be a shift in its focus and how it approaches projects? It's different than having 2 Walker appointees be the majority. And talk to people initially, feedback I've gotten is that Evers have a consensus builder, a good reputation, but they're going to watch for things like, oh, when there's a project approved, might there be more contingencies added to it, like requirements for studies on the impact on the environment or on birds, those kinds of things. So watch for that. Also, have to note, because you work for Renew Wisconsin, which has got an interest in cases for the PSC in the past and takes donations from various folks who've been involved in cases, might have to recuse himself from stuff that initially was on the commission.
Okay, and mixed?
So Daniel Kelly, look, we've talked about this before. The turnout in the presidential primary in Wisconsin will have a huge impact on how that race is going to go. A few weeks ago, Kelly folks were cheering the idea of Bernie Sanders wrapping this thing up early and the race being over by April. Last week we talked about, maybe you're going to have a battle for the soul of the Democratic Party come April 7th with Biden people, Bernie people, and then supercharged black turnout in Milwaukee because of 2 African-American candidates in the ballot for Milwaukee County Executive, Milwaukee Mayor. I got the impression we're past that idea of the battle for the soul of the party April 7th. However, Joe Biden did really well on Tuesday again, but the next day Sanders said, I'm in it for the fight on the ideas. That suggests to folks that this is not going to be fizzle out necessarily, but it might not be as intense a race as we thought maybe a month ago. Some things to watch. Remember, in 2016, Hillary Clinton basically wrapped up the nomination for president for the Democrats before April, but Sanders still did well here. There were still like 1 million people voted in that primary. Go back to 2012, Mitt Romney had basically wrapped up the GOP nomination to face Barack Obama that fall. But Rick Santorum had not dropped out yet. There were about 770,000 votes in that primary. So that's like my new kind of gauge. Are we going to be between 770 or 1 million come April 7th? That could really kind of impact the path Kelly has. Because don't forget, Brian Hagedorn last spring got 606,000 votes. So if you're using that as a benchmark of like good turnout for a conservative, how do you get to those marks of the primaries we've seen for president, that kind of turnout?
And then you're falling.
Miller Park tax finally
goes
away. Surtax,
the 1%, though that controversial 0.1% that cost Senator PTAC his job. Oh, these are your picks. Okay, I'm shutting up.
Cost PTAC his position in the state
yes.
Senate.
Yes.
Laid the foundation for the Tea Party movement in Racine County 25, 30 years, whatever it was. It also helped build a baseball stadium that ushered in the most successful run in Brewers history for the postseason. So, you know, some good and bad, but there's still some semi-resentment in places, these five counties, about being included. The Racine County executive said we never should have been included in this tax in the first place.
Okay.
Good riddance.
We got an extra minute here. I want to go back. Topic one last week, will Wisconsin matter on April 7th? You just kind of alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, return to it. 1 week later, how much will we matter on April 7th?
The perception of people I talked to is that Biden has basically got to a point that they don't see a way to stop him from winning the nomination. But Bernie's not going away. So what is that going to mean? Is that going to mean like a last stand? Because remember, in 2016, for Republicans, Wisconsin was the last stand of the anti-Trumpers, right? The never-Trumpers. So Ted Cruz did well here, even though, you know, he wasn't necessarily the first pick. A lot of Republicans, he just wasn't Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That was 1.1 million people voting. Do you get that kind of sense of a Bernie movement to, like, let's have one last gasp? Now, don't forget, Tuesday we have Ohio, Florida,
mm-hmm.
Some big states coming up,
yep.
Illinois, I think, too. So if Biden wraps those up, and he's really heavily favored in Florida right now, what's that mean? Georgia is 1 week from Tuesday. Then there's really nothing until us. So
right. We're still going to matter. We're hosting the DNC, and Trump won with less than 23,000 votes. We're still going to matter.
Just a matter of, I don't think we're going to matter in terms of who the nominee is going to be.
Right.
I think we're going to maybe be that last gasp.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Again, that span of about 780,000 voters to 1 million voters, where do we fall in that spectrum? Because the Kelly folks need to build off of Hagedorn's number. They're going to have the state GOP to help them. You're going to have Trump to help, because even though Trump's on the ballot, like in terms of a contested race, he's still there. So do you have people who are Trump fans who just want to go out and vote for that guy no matter what because they want to show they support him? That's the stuff to watch for April 7th.
Yeah, and watch for the president to come, who canceled the Catholics for Trump rally,
mm-hmm.
watch him to come back right before that April 7th primary.
And don't forget, complicating turnout is going to be this whole coronavirus. I mean, like, we don't know what's going to happen with this. Will there be long lines on Election Day, more absentee voting ahead of Election Day? Talk about the elderly are the most susceptible population to the coronavirus, and what happens? They tend to vote more conservative in this state. What's that mean for? It's all kinds of questions like that. Fascinating.
Yeah, okay, we got about 30 seconds. What developments with coronavirus are you going to look for in the next week? What might we be talking about 1 week from today?
Schools. What happens with those? It's a big thing to watch, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for March 13th.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.